All right. Good morning, church. It is good to be with you here this morning. I'm going to be over in Galatians, the 6th chapter, the 9th verse. Very familiar scripture. You can turn there if you want. But I want to tell you a little about something about preaching. And whenever you preach, it's repetitive. I want you to understand that. Preaching is repetitive. That's why you'll hear preachers maybe preach the same sermons down through the years. You'll hear them preach the same scripture, maybe a different angle. Because it's just the way that it is, and there is a reason for that. The reason why teaching can be repetitive, the reason why preaching can be repetitive. I don't expect you to hang on every one of my words. Greg don't expect you to hang on every one of their words. But praise God, if we keep repeating it, if we keep saying it, and we keep doing it time after time after time, praise the Lord, I hope that you get it sometime. Because there's going to be a time when you're going to need it. You will need it. Absolutely. And the reason why it's done the way that it is, listen to me, there is not a bit of scripture in this Bible that somebody else hasn't preached at some time in their life. Whether it's another preacher, they taught it, whatever it may be. It's been talked about, and you can step back and think, well, I've heard that before. Absolutely, amen. And I hope and pray that you continue to hear it. But my scripture this morning, Galatians 6:9, it's one of those things where you've heard it over and over again. But you know what? Praise God, it's something that we need to hear, especially now. If you're there, let's stand and read God's Word in honor of His Word this morning here, please. Galatians 6:9. Now, this is a promise. This is a promise to every one of God's children here this morning. This is a promise. 6:9. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Amen. That is a promise. I want you to understand that this morning. We'll get into it more here. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, I'm going to come with thanksgiving in my heart this morning, Lord. One more time, thanking you, Father, for your mercy, for your grace, for all that you bestowed upon us, Lord. I ask you, Lord, now to open up the hearts here this morning. I pray, Father, that, Lord, that we would listen with our hearts, not just with our ears. And the Lord, that Father, as the word goes out, Father, as it goes out here this morning, that Father, I pray that Father, hearts will be stirred. They'll be touched, Lord. And Father, as the song says, we love you. We want to praise you. We want to give you all the glory that you so rightly deserve. We ask it in Jesus' name. And amen. You may be seated. What a promise this is. And I know, whenever I dug into it this week and just really starting to break it down, and God had showed me some things on this scripture that I really had never ever looked at it quite this way before, Ken, but I've looked at it, and it says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. One other translation puts it this way, let us not lose heart in doing good. Let us not lose heart in doing good. And as I've looked around this church, and again, it's repetitive. It's been repeated here this morning. As I've looked around this church, and I think about the toll that has been taken on people's lives in this church from different reasons. I know COVID has taken a toll. I know it has, and it has done things. And I hate to keep mentioning that, but brothers and sisters, it has taken a toll. When we got together as the churches, the five churches got together, and we were talking as pastors, one constant thing was over. It said, these last 2 years have been hard on the churches. I met a gentleman yesterday. We was out, Tink and myself was out, and we were at Cracker Barrel, and he was a preacher that I've known, and he's in my conference. As a matter of fact, he's the president of our conference, and I met him. And he told me, he said, and I said, how's it going, Tim? And he said, it's been rough, Dave. It's been rough. Listen, I know that it has been rough. And while it has been rough on a lot of different, for various different reasons, it has been rough on people. It's taken a physical and emotional toll on people's lives. I know it has. And the folks going to these churches, I know it's taken a toll on you guys as well. But can I tell you, God's promise still holds true. Right here this morning, let us not grow weary. Let us not grow weary in well-doing. I'm here to tell you, for in due season we shall reap. COVID is not going to be the end game of all this stuff. As already has been mentioned here this morning, cancer it seems like it's just running rampant, it seems like. And it's been said before, it just looks like that. And I wrote this down for you. Anybody ever said anything here this morning about this? And I'm here to tell you, I want you to say, understand this. God's promise still holds true to you this morning. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap. You shall reap if we faint not. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. The phrase be weary means to let up. In today's language, what he's talking about is for us to take our foot up off the gas, so to speak. So to lay back and just to stand still, per to say. He's saying, listen to me. He said, let us not be weary. Don't slow down in serving the God that we serve when things are coming after you the way that they do. Paul was talking to folks who were tempted to slack up. I want to give you something here this morning. I'm going to be repetitive. I'm going to go over this and over this. Listen, there is no place for any of us to stop this morning. Not whatsoever. There's no place, no matter what comes our way, and you're saying, preacher, that's good, that's nice for you to say. Well, I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, this world is not our home. This isn't the end game, as the movie had here a while back. The end game is when we get to heaven one of these days. And Jesus Christ, we go in and we're with Him, and nothing will ever touch us again. That's the end game. They were people who Paul had been working, that had been working as hard as they could work. That they could, and listen, as hard as they could, and the fruit of their labor just wasn't there. I'm here to tell you, you may feel that way this morning. You may feel that, Lord, I've been doing everything you want me to do. Lord, I've been going and doing just exactly what you want me to do, Lord. But I want you to know something this morning. Do not be weary. You will reap one of these days. And they were tempted to say, what's the use? Have you ever been there? I'm going to raise my hand first. There have been times I've been there. What's the use? And start slacking off and wanted to quit. And all these other things flow through your mind. Malachi 1:13. You think this is just new to us? He said also, behold, what a weariness it is. Malachi has said that. What a weariness it is for people to try to serve God. This was God's people complaining about serving Him. Listen, we all could complain once in a while. We've all got in our own minds, we've all got a right to complain, right? Because your problem is, my problem is worse than your problem. You know, do we all not think that sometimes? But I'm here to tell you this morning, we've all been there. And you know what? Sometimes we get to thinking like that. Going to church becomes a bother to some people. Teaching God's Word and reading God's Word becomes a bother to some people. Preaching becomes a bother. Jamie and myself know that sometimes. We'll feel that. Sometimes it becomes a bother. Sometimes we feel in our hearts. Who isn't preaching all because we would rather do other things? You know what? How many of us in here have ever thought, well, I'd rather be doing something else than I would be going to the house of God this morning? I hope and pray you've never been there, but there have been times in my life I have thought that, and I'm being honest with you. A couple things I want to establish before I go into this, but first thing, Paul was talking to Christians. If you back up to Galatians 6:1, you'll find that out. It says this, brethren. That's who he's talking to. He's not talking to the world out here. He's in Galatians 6:1 there, when we get all day, he's talking to brethren. He's talking to the ones that are in church, the ones that come to church, the ones that get weary, the ones that get, you know, this thing sometimes it's no use, Greg. I remember Greg and Jamie and them going pounding on doors sometimes. And like he said, they got doors shut in their face. Wouldn't you think sometimes, oh, what's the use? Just let them go that way. Praise his name. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everyone deserves the Savior that we know. Whether they know it, whether they want to admit it, whether they want to grant, everyone deserves the Savior that we come to know one day. Listen to me, brothers and sisters. Brethren, listen. First of all, Paul's talking to brethren. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such as one in the spirit of meekness, considering what? Considering yourself, thyself, lest thou also be tempted. You look out here and say, well, why in the world would they do? Oh, I would never do that. What's going on with you? Listen to me. He's telling you right there. Consider them. Be in meekness. Come, go to pray for them in meekness and understanding. He's talking to brothers and sisters in Christ. Paul always admonishes and he always encourages. Did you know that? If you look through all the books, Corinthians, Ephesians, and the book we're studying this morning, Galatians, he's always admonishing them. He's always encouraging them. It's like the carrot and the stick. Right? You know, he's always doing one way or the other. But praise God, he always tried to make sure that they understood. Paul loved the people that he preached to. Paul loved them. He wanted them to know the love of Christ in their lives. So this morning, I want you to understand something. I want my Christian brothers and sisters in here to understand this morning. Troubles and trials are a give-in. They're a given. Do you understand that this morning? Nobody's going to get out of it in here this morning. I preach this, again, I'm repetitive. I preach it a lot. None of us are going to get out of those things. We don't. No matter how good a Christian you think you are, no matter what your life, there are going to be troubles, there are going to be trials come your way at some time in your life. They're going to. And this, for us to understand that. And what does the Bible tell us to do? It tells us to stick to it. Do not grow weary in well-doing. Keep the pedal to the metal. Keep it down. Keep on serving God with everything that you have. If you stick to it, if you hang in there, God will give you the strength to get through it. Absolutely. The God that I serve, yes, I've had trials and temptations in my life, and God has given me the strength. He has given me the whereabouts and the wherewithal to get through these things. And you will reap the reward if you faint not. Now, I'd like to focus on those last four words just for a little bit. I'm going to go through this whole verse, if you faint not. I want to tell you a little story about myself, and maybe I've told this here before. A few years back, especially whenever I was working out and stuff, I would get real bad leg cramps in the middle of the night. I'd just wake up with them. And I would jump up, or yell, and Tank would jump on top of me to keep me from jumping up. And the reason why she did that, I'm going here to tell you. One night I jumped up, and when I did, I passed out. I fainted. I hit the edge of the bed and I cut the top of my eye wide open. I had no idea. I had no idea that I even did it. I wake up and there she is standing over top of me. She said, "Dave, you fainted." I said, "I did not." Brian was still at home at the time, and she yelled, and Brian come into the room. But I fainted. I just jumped up and a blood flow. If you're not serving the Lord to overcome, you will reap what you reward. And I'm saying is to understand what happens when you faint. I want you to understand a few things. I looked it up because I wanted to figure out stuff whenever Paul's coming across. He said, when you faint not, you may call it blacking out, but I think we understand the point that Paul's trying to get across here. Some of the warning signs before a person faints are these. You get blurry eyesight. Things become dark. Also, someone can be talking to you and you just don't understand. You maybe have muffled hearing, weakness of muscle. You begin to get numb. If you're standing, you'll fall. If you're sitting, you'll slump over. Listen, when the main culprit of this is a lack of oxygen, what is the majority of the folks that faint? If anyone has ever fainted, it's a terrible feeling, right? It is a terrible feeling. I don't know if anybody in here else has ever done that. But like I said, I didn't even realize that I'd done it. So if we're zeroing in on fainting as a spiritual aspect of it, and that's why I wrote this down, to get across to the church, this is what I want to get across to you. Look at it. I have seen this in the church since I've been a Christian, since I've been a preacher. And this has been it. Blurry eyesight. Things become dark. Also, someone can be talking to you. I'm going to read them again, but you don't understand. You've been muffled hearing, weakness. There have been quite a few folks that no longer go to church here anymore. But you know the problem is, they may go to other churches, some of them, but there's a lot of them that don't go anywhere in church. And that bothers me. That bothers me more than anybody that goes to another church, because they don't go anywhere. Now, I want to be proactive as a preacher. I want to talk to everybody here this morning. You can say within yourself, that can't happen to me. You can sit there and say that, but let me warn you, you can faint without prior warning. I know that. That's why I'm here this morning to warn you. Apathy can set in. It has caused many of a person to faint. Apathy has done that, a lack of interest. Listen, Romans 12:11 talks about being fervent in the Spirit, serving the Lord. Let's look at the warning signs of fainting from the spiritual side of it. Sometimes when you faint, you'll lose your vision. And the Bible tells us that someone that does not have a vision, they said, you'll lose them. We all need a vision. And I'm here this morning to tell you that you need to keep your vision on serving the Lord. Sin is no longer sin. They aren't as lost as yet. You know, you look at it and say, well, they aren't that bad. You can't see things clearly as you once did. Where there is no vision, the people perish. And can I tell you this morning, if there's no vision in your life, you have a chance of fainting just as well. So when faith cometh by hearing, listen, your hearing gets dull. When somebody getting ready to faint, they say their hearing becomes dull. They say that you can talk to them, and they said that you can talk to them, and they just look like they got this glassy eye looking, or just looking away, because they're not hearing what you say. So why is that? The Bible lays it out clearly. So when faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You see what Paul was trying to lay out? If you faint not. You could read and rather listen to anything else besides Christian music or reading your Bible. You'd rather do any of that other stuff than get into the Word of God. When you faint spiritually, you'll find out you're not in the Word like you should be. I have found out in my life that whenever I start to faint spiritually, it's because I do not get into the Word of God like I should. I seen something here recently. It's talked about preachers. This is something, I like statistics. Yeah, I like these. Over 70% of the preachers don't read their Bibles until they study for their sermons. How can you feed your people if you are not getting fed? Amen or oh my. How can you feed the people? How can you touch the people that you're wanting to touch in your families, your neighbors, your workplace? If you do not get into the meat of the word, how can you do it? You can't. You've got to get into God's word. Why? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Brother, how many of you know that you will die from lack of nourishment? Some people don't pick up a Bible until they come here and listen to me preach or listen to Greg teach every week. You can say, amen, or oh my. I'm just here again to tell you, and I'm going to be repetitive about it. Amen. How many of you eat once a week? Why? Because you would die if you ate once a week. Matthew 4:4. It is written, men shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of what? Out of the mouth of God. We need to feed ourselves. We need to get nourished. The sad truth is that's the only time some people get is when they're here. You know what? You would not live if you did that physically. So what's that thing? What do you think it does to you if you do it spiritually? If you only pick this thing up once a week, what do you think it does to you spiritually? Your church's chances of fainting are very likely. He said, if you faint not. I'm giving it to you this morning just how God had given it to me. You know what? He said, you will reap the reward if you faint not. And I'm trying to tell you how not to faint. So what makes you think you'll be weak? Your chances of fainting are high. Also, it talks about how people will start getting numb. Can I tell you something, brothers and sisters? People are getting numb in the spirit. People are getting numb in the spirit. How do you know that, preacher? Well, let me ask you. I'm going to put the test on you. Do testimonies stir your heart anymore? Do they do that? Do testimonies stir your heart anymore like they once did? You think to yourself, I wish they would just hurry up and shut up and sit down. You don't have a testimony anymore. You don't have one. You don't have a testimony anymore. The music doesn't stir you the way that the music used to stir you. The teaching and the preaching doesn't inspire you to dig into God's word or into anymore. You heard yourself. I said it earlier. Oh, I've heard it before. I know what they're preaching about. I know you're spinning your wheel. Listen, can I tell you something? If you're here this morning and you are spinning your wheels, sitting here spiritually, sitting here spinning your wheels, can I tell you what I believe? You're not sitting still. You're going backwards. If you're sitting still, you're going backwards. How about your prayer life? Jesus said in Luke 18:1 that men ought always to pray and do what? And not to faint. How's your prayer life? I say this quite a bit, but I'm going to, again, repetitive, because I want you to understand this. As a preacher, I'm going to be repetitive. There are going to be times I'm going to say a lot of stuff over and over. But if your prayer life is not any good, your chances of fainting are highly, highly probable. If you do not have a prayer life, if you don't, and I'm not saying, as I lay me down to sleep. When I was a child, I spake as a child. Or Lord, you know, Lord bless this food, Lord. I'm here to tell you, our prayer life should be more than simple repetitions, amen? Amen. Your prayer life should be wanting you to get into it and talk to God one-on-one. Let God know what your need is. Get into him. Say, Lord, I'm here to talk to you one-on-one. I'm here to talk to you. I could go out here and I talk to Ron, and I could talk to Ron out here in this foyer out here, and me and Ron can talk one-to-one, and me and Ron know. That's what God wants us to do with him. He wants us to talk one-to-one. He wants us to do that. And Jesus said it there. He said it again. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, what's it say? The Spirit of the Lord shall do what? It shall lift up a standard against him. And I'm here to tell you this morning, the Spirit, that the enemy is rushing in like crazy. And to understand we are not in charge. Can I tell you something else too? For in due season we shall reap. Can I tell you something this morning? You are not in charge of when the harvest will come. You're not in charge of that. Lord, show me this. He said, do say you should reap. It's up to God when the harvest comes. And well-doing means doing the common everyday task well. That's what that means. Don't get discouraged. But pastor, week after week, I teach a Sunday school class. And it seems like that nothing happens. Week after week, I come to church and it seems like nobody else has that desire. Week after week, nothing happens. Week after week, I teach, I preach. Week after week, I pray, and it seems like nothing happens. Week after week, I pray for a family member. Year after year, I pray for them, but it seems like nothing happens. When you get like that, I want you to turn to the scripture in Luke 5:5. This is why I said deja vu all over again when Greg was mentioning about the fish this morning. Luke 5:5. I'm going to read all of it. Luke Luke 5, 1 through 7. But I'm going to read, but 5 is the one I want you to zero in on. When you get there, say amen, please. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but fishermen were going out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thirst out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And what does Simon say? It's just like I just said right there. Sometimes we just seems like we're beating our heads against the wall. But here's what he said. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the nets. Amen. Amen. Have you toiled all night, you think? Have you toiled for years praying for that lost loved one? Have you been a Sunday school teacher at this church for years? Have you done all manner of jobs at this church for years and just think, what's the use sometimes? Right there, brothers and sisters, Jesus is saying, let down the nets anyway. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes that their nets break. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in other ships, and that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they begin to sink. I'm here this morning to tell you, don't give up hope. Amen. Praise the Lord this morning. Praise the Lord. Don't give up hope. There's still hope as long as there's breath. And praise His name this morning. We shall reap if we faint not. God is in charge of what time the harvest comes. He's in charge of that. And it will come. Rejoice in your faithfulness, not your fruitfulness. Thank the good Lord you come every Sunday to church and you teach every Sunday. Thank the good Lord for your faithfulness. Because that's what He wants of us, right? He wants us to be faithful. But leave the fruitfulness up to Him. Let Him be the one. One may sow, one may reap. I don't know the whole situation. But praise His name this morning. If we don't faint, we are going to reap. Rejoice. I always think of Luke 10:20. Notwithstanding, this is in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because what? Your name's written down in heaven. Praise the Lord this evening. Praise His name. Listen to me. We, no matter what we get into, thank God this morning that you're saved. You're headed to heaven. Headed towards heaven this morning. I've heard you guys talk about what's going on over across. But did you know that in that country, I have not dug into this to check, but I just heard it this past week, over 70% of those people are Christians. Over 70% of them. They put us to shame. They put us to shame. And yet, look at what's happening to that country. I'm just here today to tell you, we cannot faint. We cannot faint. Let us not be weary in well-doing. Well-doing requires some things out of all of us. I'm trying to hurry up here, but I want you to understand. Well-doing requires, and as the Lord showed me this, like I said, I broke down this scripture down through the week. Well-doing requires something out of all of us. It requires us to respond to the Spirit as it's working on us. Did you know that? Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So when the Spirit of God is working on you and trying to help you, trying to show you what direction you should go. Somebody asked me this the other day. How do you know that the Spirit is talking to you? I'm here to tell you this morning. The Spirit of God talks to you. You will know. You will know that the Spirit of God talks to you. You'll know how it talks to you. You know what it's whenever you get that feeling within yourself and if it lines up with God's Word. Also, the second thing that I wrote down about well-doing, it requires self-denial and a narrow focus. I heard this repeated here this morning too. Matthew 16:24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Remember, you have been saved for one reason only, if you are saved here this morning, to fulfill the plan and the purpose of Jesus Christ and the Father. That is your purpose. That is what you should be doing. When your feet touch the floor in the morning, when you go out that door, that is your plan, and that should be your purpose. There are things in our life that we could be doing that we won't do because, brothers and sisters, we have to serve Jesus. There's things in my life I would love to do. I would love to. Is it sin? No, it's not sin. But I would love to go do them. But I don't do them. I don't do them because I'm trying to serve God to the best of my ability and trying to be what God wants me to be. I told her, me and her talked about it, and this is nothing wrong. And there's nothing wrong with any of this. I used to love to hunt. I used to love to fish. I used to love to do all manner of that stuff. I did. And you can ask her. I haven't done that probably in, I don't know how many years it's been. And it's not because it's a sin, but it's because God has pressed upon me to be better than what I am. It means that we walk out that door each day, we put our trust in Him. Listen, well-doing means to actively trust God. It means that. That's not some bumper sticker or some little catchy little phrase. It means that we actively trust God for everything in our life. Or sometimes we hear what goes, sometimes we hear that, and again, I'm preaching it to you guys here this morning, and I guarantee you, some of you take it in one ear and put it out the other and say, well, you know what, that's fine. I'll work out my own salvation in whatever way I want to. God's trying to talk to you this morning. And what you're doing is you're going against what the Holy Spirit's trying to tell you. And whenever you do that, don't expect your life to get spiritually better. It means when we walk out the door, we trust Him for everything each and every day. Isaiah 26:3, thou shalt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. We must understand we are living Christ, not ourselves. If you're a Christian here this morning, you are living Christ. It's not for yourself. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life which I now live in the flesh. Now get this. We're all in the flesh right here, right? I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Belinda, come and get a song this morning. There used to be I'm going to leave you with this little story. There used to be a settlement over on the Gaza Strip in Israel. And I'm going to butcher these names, so just be with me. It's a little settlement that used to be over there. Netzaram was the name of this little settlement. It's not there no more. It's not there whatsoever no more. And there used to be all kind of trouble there. All kind of trouble. Matter of fact, the only way that you could get to this place was have an armed carrier guard go with you. That's the only way you could get to this place. That's how bad it was. These folks lived amongst this conflict over there all the time. Well, there was one school teacher over there, a guy by the name of Somet Ziel, who said this, and I thought this was so powerful. I don't live where it's comfortable. I live where it's important for me to live. You get that? I don't know if the man was a Christian or not, but I think he was a Christian. But he said those words, and I think, and listen, that's every Christian in here this morning should take this word. We don't live, brothers and sisters, we don't live to be comfortable. When it comes to serving God, we shouldn't be living to make sure that we live in comfort. With the job you have, with the family you have, with the neighbors you have, with the church family you have, and the good Lord knows it's very uncomfortable at times. These situations can be very uncomfortable at times with our families, with all manner of things. It can be that way. And I think this song tells it best. I'd ask her to get this together early to play this. But you know this song. But this is what I want to leave you with. And I want you to understand something this morning. Do not faint. Do not faint. Because if you don't faint, you're going to reap a reward someday. Whether on this side of eternity or on the other side of eternity. I still believe that God's going to give great testimonies around this place. I do believe that. I'm going to hold on to that. I'm going to hold on to that. Because I believe God is going to give great testimonies for people to have. Praise His name. Stand if you would, please.